0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Motherwell appoint Jens Bertel Askew as their new manager. SFA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell says Steve Clarke is the man to take Scotland into World Cup qualifying, and Celtic are linked with another winger as Hamza Egerman is the latest Rangers player to be linked with a move away. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Simon Donnelly.
Good evening, Andrew. A couple of weeks I've missed out here, back in tonight, and we've got another manager in the Scottish Premier League, so there'll be a bit of interest out there, especially with the Motherwell fans. But yeah, it's shaping up nicely for the new season coming. Many new faces, and that will bring new players as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, because at one point, I mean, this is exaggerating it a bit, but it was a quarter of Scottish Premiership clubs were still looking for a manager. Yeah. Rangers, Dundee, and of course, Motherwell as well. Kilmarnock were looking for a manager at one point too, but Motherwell today, the last of those teams to appoint a new manager, Jens Bertel Askew, not a name that I think many people will be familiar with at all, but it maybe makes it more interesting to see what he's going to be like.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I think not many people would have known of the likes of Jimmy Tilleen at the start of the season, and he went and won the Scottish Cup at Aberdeen, so it'll be interesting to see. The last guy didn't last very long. I'm sure the Motherwell fans will be hoping this guy lasts a wee bit longer, but Copenhagen number two, he's got a bit of experience in his own neck of the woods, so it'll be interesting to see how it materialises over the months.
Yeah, it's managed in Denmark, Sweden and the Faroe Islands as well. So Motherwell fans, I want to hear from you. You finally have your manager. There were plenty of names linked. There were a few names linked in the last few hours as well. Saw some this morning, saw some last night, so I want to know what you think of Jens Bertel Askew. If you know anything about him at all, is it something that possibly excites you because it's something different? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. This is one for Scotland fans as well, because Chief Executive Ian Maxwell has been speaking today after the SFA AGM. A few topics he was touching on, but I think maybe the most interesting for those out there is on the future of Steve Clarke. He's backing Steve Clarke. He says he's the man to take Scotland into World Cup qualifying. He says that he's going nowhere. He's got this contract until next year, and talks about an extended deal won't take place until next year. So you can let us know your thoughts on that. Steve Clarke is, of course, staying on as Scotland manager, and he's been backed as the man to take Scotland to the World Cup next year. 0141 951 1025. Probably not surprising that that is what Ian Maxwell said today, although we have had quite a few phone calls over the last few days, especially since the Iceland defeat, of people who aren't a fan of Steve Clarke, or maybe feeling that Scotland aren't quite in the place that they were maybe a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I think that would possibly be fair. We were up at such a high level at one point, taking the scalps of the likes of Spain, and obviously the Euros, there was a backlash from that. And I thought we bounced back in the Nations League with some reasonable results. Portugal, you know, unlucky not to get something more than a draw in the Portugal game. Iceland game, listen, I watched it myself. There's a balance between end of season friendlies and trying to bed in some new players and players maybe subconsciously switched off end of season. It wasn't a good performance. The lads bounced back. I heard Steve Clarke talking about a little bit of maybe anger in within the camp, wanting to put that right, that Iceland result, and they did that. You know, Liechtenstein, people say it's only Liechtenstein, but you have to go there. You look at England only taking one off Andorra. You have to go there and get the result. They did do that, and listen to Ian Maxwell today, it looks as if they're going to go forward. What I'd agree with Ian Maxwell, listening to a little bit of his interview, is I still think we have players there, and when they are firing, as he said, I think we are a decent team. It's just to get us firing again and get boys like young Ben Doak back in. I thought we looked at a really different side, particularly going forward with guys like him in the team.
Well, those are the topics we want to hear from you on tonight. Jens Bertel Askew, the new Motherwell manager. Motherwell fans, what do you make of it? 0141 951 1025. SFA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell giving Steve Clarke his backing. What do you make of that? We'll hear from him shortly. 0141 951 1025. A bit of news for Celtic and Rangers fans as well. Celtic being linked with another winger, Benjamin Nygren from Norsjælland. 6 months left on his contract, suggestion options that Celtic are going to try and get him in this window. Is that a name that excites you, Celtic fans and Rangers fans? What about Hamza Egerman? Because there is a report from a French publication, Foot Mercato, linking him with various clubs, including Lille, Rennes, Strasbourg, Brentford, West Ham, Everton. Is he someone that you're desperate to keep a hold of? What does the squad look like? Because the players that are being linked with a move away at the moment are the likes of Hamza Egerman, Cyril Dessers and Nico Raskin. Is it time to cash in on these players and try and start afresh, or are these the players you want to try and build a team around? 0141 951 1025. While you get your calls in, let's hear a bit from SFA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell. He believes Steve Clarke is the right man to lead Scotland into World Cup qualifying. He says any talks over Steve Clarke's future won't take place until next year.
Steve's desperate to get us to the World Cup. The players are desperate to get there. It is the missing piece of the jigsaw. When you look at it back at his 5 or so years in charge, you know, going from League C to League A in the Nations League, back-to-back Euros, the World Cup qualification, the disappointment of the Ukraine game out here, you know, will live long in the memory, and that's something that they're desperate to put right. And we've got a manager and a squad that can absolutely take us there. And it's, I think it's important that as a nation we get behind them for the upcoming qualifiers, because we're in a difficult group, but we've got a real chance of making it. Those discussions will happen at that point in time. You know, we're all just focused on the World Cup. We're all just focused on getting to the USA and getting behind Steve and the players and making sure we give them every opportunity to do so.
It's a tough one to gauge, Simon, because there is a group of players there that have shown that they can put in really good performances, that they can get to major tournaments. They're currently showing it at club level, yeah, that they can be excellent and they can go out and win things. It's just maybe that the team that Steve Clarke is, or the best that Steve Clarke has managed to get out of these players, he maybe not managed of late. So there's that sort of quandary of, can Steve Clarke continue or go and get the best out of these players again? Can the players get the best out of themselves again at international level? And can they get themselves to a World Cup?
Well, that's the question. That is the question. And he describes it there as the last piece of the jigsaw. Listen, the manager's done brilliantly to get us to two European championships. I don't think we performed particularly well at the finals. I think the boys would probably agree themselves that they can do a lot better than that. We've seen a lot better in the qualification at certain times. The other night was a disappointment, but I mean, you lose your goalkeeper after seconds, and the young lad, I felt for him when he came in. He's not had a lot of game time anywhere to be thrown in, and it just went from bad to worse. Boys just didn't look to be at it. As I say, we got a little bit of a reaction in the following game, but these first two games coming up are massive. Is it Denmark and Belarus away? They're difficult games, and to give yourself any chance, you're looking at 4 points from that at least. But I do think this team, and when we look at when we come back to play these games, the season will have started. It'll be a different period or a different stage of a season opposed to Iceland at the end of a season. If I'm trying to make any sort of excuses at all, I still think we have the tools there. I still think we have the players there. Look at young Lennon Miller the other night. I thought he was excellent. I think there's going to be more time for him, albeit he's in an area of Scotland's squad that's very strong when you look at your McTominays and McGinns and Gilmers. But yeah, I feel we should be getting more, and I think there will be more. I think it'll be a different stage of the season, but those two games are massive.
Is it a tough time to read into friendlies, international friendlies at this time of year, because it's at a point in the season where I think a lot of players might just appreciate a bit of a rest? It's been a long, hard season, and look, it's the same for both teams. I totally get that. Iceland will be in the same camp, Liechtenstein will be in the same camp, so will every other national team on the planet. But maybe players do have different motivations, different mindsets, and I know that's maybe not good enough for some people, because they'll think, you know, pulling on the Scotland shirt is the pinnacle. But at this point, is it maybe tough to get a full picture of what it looks like?
I think it is. You look at I touched on the Napoli boys there. They've just come off the back of winning Serie A. The celebrations and the high of that to come back, and of course you're representing your country, and there's a huge sense of pride to do that. But the way the game went the other night, and then things weren't happening, and it just didn't seem as if Scotland could click into gear. A really disappointing performance, admitted by the manager and the players. It was for all to see, and we get a little bounce back. He shuffles the pack again a few days later. I say the big positive for me, and I think everybody, the obvious on the eye was Lennon Miller coming in. Jay Adams gets a hat trick, and I think you have to put that to bed. I think you have to now focus on getting the team ready for the next two games, because they're huge. If we got off to a bad start, you know, we're not qualifying. We have to get, I'd say, 4 points out of six.
Well, I want to hear your thoughts on that. Chief Exec of Ian Maxwell, Chief Executive of the Scottish FA, Ian Maxwell, saying today that he's giving Steve Clarke his backing. He thinks he is the right man to take Scotland into World Cup qualifying. 01419511025, if you've got any thoughts on that. Want to hear from you Motherwell fans tonight, because you have a new manager. What do you make of it? It's a bit of the unknown, a step into the unknown, but maybe that's something you don't mind at all. 01419511025. Let's go to the phone and speak to Archie, who is a Rangers fan. Archie, what are you thinking tonight?
How you doing, Les? All right, Damon. I was trying to go into the last few weeks with regards to listening to Russell Martin speaking. I've been on this show for the last few years, obviously. I'm not a fan of Tav being captain, which I've said about 20 times in the show. I cannot figure out why, when he's talking about new energy and this and that, this is his sixth manager now, and it's looking like he's going to be captain again. And I know I've said this 100 times. He's won 3 trophies out of 24. That is captain, 8 years as captain, right? Which is unacceptable. And I know a lot of pundits keep saying the same thing, like, you know, it's about the team and different things. But see, at the end of the day, there was 3 or 4 challenges we've had with Celtic in the last, you know, few years. And it's already been seen. He had a horrendous season last year, apart from the last couple of months. Totally despondent. Wanted to leave. And he's going to keep him captain again. How can you possibly have a new start with a new regime and keep Tav as captain? What is this obsession that managers come to? What is it he's got that I don't...
Is there an argument, Archie, that each manager that's come in just thinks he's the best man for the job, for what he does around the training ground, the fact that they've all kept him in there? Is there maybe just a sort of common denominator there that they all do think he is the best option?
I don't know. I mean, I think every great manager is ruthless, and I think you have to look at the bigger picture. I think, especially if you know the game, the Scottish game. You're coming in a foreigner, maybe you don't know, but you know that the Scottish game, the British game, and you know this guy's won 3 trophies out of 24. The Rangers were talking about here, you know. And I think, for me, he's never had presence. He's never a Rangers captain. I've said it to him blue in the face, and I don't know why. I mean, he's failed so many times to lead his team. You know, the end of a season after Christmas, he's always been hiding. See these games at the penultimate of the season. Your Dundee's, your Ross. This is happened like about 4 out of the 8 Celtic goat. And it's the same stuff constantly. It's the same stuff for him over and over and over. Surely he's somebody. What anyone else can do worse? I mean, it's 3 trophies out of 24. He's talking about new energy. It's a total contradiction.
Does that then change everything, Archie? If all of a sudden you take the armband off of James Tavernier, you give it to someone else in the team, is that the magic remedy? Is that all of a sudden Rangers are going to be a lot better?
No, but I think you're trying something new. At the end of the day, you've got to, if something's not working, it's shown you it's not working. He's not a successful captain. This obsession about the goals he scored, and Russell was talking about Gordon Dale, should speak about it, what he's done for Rangers, right? He's won 3 trophies as captain. What has he done for Rangers? He scored a lot of goals. Has it won his trophies or league titles? He won 1 league title as a captain when there was no fans there, right? I mean, I don't know what this obsession is with keeping him as captain. Surely somebody else must be given a go. If he's talking about new energy, I mean, how can that be new energy when it... I just don't get it. I don't know what it is. And I think a top manager comes in and he's ruthless. And he changes things. This is no changing anything. That's the first message he gave out. He's keeping him as captain, and for me, that's a terrible foundation to begin with. I think, I don't know. I think it's really, really poor. Really, really poor.
Yeah, it's an age-old argument, Simon. It's not the first time we've heard a Rangers fan come on here and say that James Tavernier shouldn't be Rangers captain. I talked there about the fact that, you know, every manager that has come and gone has kept James Tavernier as his captain, especially with Russell Martin. He's got more of an insight than other managers did, because he actually played with James Tavernier, so he'll know what he is, what he's like around the changing room. Mm-hmm. He has that perspective. You know, is it a case of the fans just need to trust whoever the manager gives the armband to?
I can understand. Obviously, Archie's got his own opinion. Can I ask Archie, have you got somebody in mind just now that you would give it to?
Do you know what? I was always thinking, you know, again, I was brought up with Goffs and the Big Butcher and these kind of guys, you'd be Barry Ferguson. I mean, it's a different era. But, you know, I've been asked this question a few times this show, and I like Big Shooter. I don't know, I mean, I've always liked Big Shooter. I think he's got a bit of presence, he's commanding in defence, and I think we should bring in a ready-made captain, somebody who could be a captain. I don't see, apart from Shooter, I don't really see anybody there. But is there guys out there, is it the Cody boy for, if it was with Chelsea, with Leicester there, is he a ready-made captain? Connor Cody. Maybe bring somebody else, a ready-made captain who's been a captain, or yeah. he's, you know. He's
but then, say Connor Cody comes in, is Russell Martin then just going to hand him the armband over James Tavernier?
Say Connor Cody doesn't come in. I think at the moment he's obviously went in there, he's looked at the group and he's decided, like the five managers or so before him, that this is the best guy to lead the group at the moment. I'm not opposed to John Souter. I worked with John when he was a young boy at Dundee United. I think he's an excellent footballer, very level-headed. I think there might be a time when it comes to John. But the guy's just in the door. I think the big thing for Rangers and Russell Martin just now is recruitment and who's staying, because there's speculation about one or two of their better players attracting attention at the moment. Obviously, Cherney is away, who I think was their best performer last year. And it's recruitment and to try and get people in the door. Maybe further down the line, when he's got his feet under the table and established himself in the job, he might address that situation again. But you're right. I mean, I think Philippe Clement took Tavernier out of the team last season at certain stages as well. And I think if the decision's to be made, the manager will make it. But I think he's walked in the door at the moment, he's looked at the squad, he's looked at the group of players, and he's thought, you know, he's the best of this group at the moment to lead.
I suppose just bringing in someone who is a captain elsewhere or seen as a captain type figure elsewhere isn't always a guarantee, is it, Archie? You know, I think a lot was made last summer when Rangers had gone out and activated Robin Proper's contract clause at FC 20. He was the captain there and came in and, you know, looks as if he's going to be shipped out this summer.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always work, but I always look at it, I think he's had three trophies in 24. It can't be any worse, you know. And Simon did the same, but he's the best of a bad lot, and he's just no Rangers captain. No, he didn't. But I'm just saying that kind of the bunch he's looked at in times that kind of the bunch he's looked at. He's the best that's there. In other words, the best of a bad lot.
The five managers before have went with that as well. I don't think you can lay the whole blame for three trophies in that time at the doorstep of Tavernier. But I think
Rangers is there not also an argument to say that James Tavernier has just been in a team that's not been as good as Celtic during that time as well?
You look at his goals, I know people will say he's a right back, but you look at his goals and particularly in that European run, you know, getting Rangers out of jail at certain times. I think going back to it, and it's a cliche, you're probably looking at bringing in players who on the pitch are captains. You need more than, you know, James Tavernier to lead the team. You want boys to come in there, and he's mentioned Souter and boys of that ilk to go in, but it all boils down to the recruitment and who they bring in.
Well, thank you to Archie. If you've got any more thoughts on that, the point that Archie brought up, 01419511025. What about the stories of today? A new Motherwell manager, still waiting to hear from you Motherwell fans what you think of that appointment and those that have an interest in Scotland. SFA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell giving his backing to Steve Clarke. What do you make of that? 01419511025. While you get your calls in, we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your old pal Marvin Bartley making it three wins from three in the summer league so far.
His league form into the summer.
We were going to treat it as a bit of a pre-season.
Do you know what?
But
I don't even know we're doing Beat the Pundits. I'm right under pressure here. And it's in the first 20 minutes of the show.
He put his foot down essentially and said that he wasn't going to play unless it was competitive. He wanted a league table. And to be fair to him, he's backing it up at the moment. He's three wins from three. Can Simon Donnelly get off the board? If you want to play him after this break, ring 01419511025 now.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want to hear from you as well. 01419511025. Motherwell fans still waiting to hear from you on that managerial appointment. It's felt like quite a long time coming. It's finally here. What do you make of it? There's maybe a bit of a mystery element to it that you want to talk about. 01419511025. 1025 and those that follow Scotland. SFA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell, he's given Steve Clarke his backing today. He says he's the man to take Scotland into World Cup qualifying, thinks that Steve Clarke and his squad are capable of getting to the World Cup. What do you make of that? 01419511025. Get your calls in now while we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Not only is Marvin Bartley top of the leaderboard, he's messaging me every single night when Beat the Pundit's on.
He's really
having
competitive,
a go, having a go at all the other pundits.
You know what? I want to get him in that. He keeps going on about that paddle court. I think that's the next time I'm going to take him on. I've already beat him at the Masters.
Have you played paddle at all? He's right into it.
Is he?
Oh,
he's played tennis and it's a racket sport.
He's buying all the expensive equipment though. I think he's maybe sort of all the gear, no idea type
really
situation. But
so that might be the next test.
We'll see. We'll set that up a wee Simon Donnelly, Marvin Bartley, Super Scoreboard Paddle Challenge. But for now, we'll have to stick to Beat the Pundit. It's going to be David in Coatbridge. David, how do you fancy your chances against Simon?
I think I'll be all right.
You do all right normally at home?
I normally, well, I've played twice before, but beat twice, right enough. But
who did you play?
I played Mark Wilson once and Gondale once.
Right, okay, we'll
see. Twice.
Right.
Where do you rank amongst them? Actually, do I have the season? Gordondale was down in 11th place. Mark was up in third. Simon, you were just above Gordondale in 10th.
So
maybe you've got some
poor season.
Some work to do. 13 wins and 4 losses, in fairness. It's actually
13 what?
13 wins, 4 losses. So it's actually not a bad record.
That's okay.
It's just that people above you did better. Right.
Yeah.
We'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Simon Donnelly so he can't hear us. You played before, David, but just to go over the rules again, 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well. How does that sound?
That's right.
Right, let's do it. Name any of the English teams taking part in the Club World Cup.
Liverpool.
Former Scotland striker Stevie May has signed for which club?
Man.
Scott McKenna currently plays for which team?
Man.
Who scored Scotland's third goal against Liechtenstein on Monday?
Man.
Which SPFL team are nicknamed after an insect?
Pass.
Name any of the English club's new Motherwell manager Jans Bertel Askew played for.
Bangor.
Okay, we will bring Simon Donnelly back in. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Did you hear David's very short assessment of his own performance there before?
No, what was
it? Okay, no. I'll leave it. Right. 30 seconds on the clock for Simon Donnelly. Let's do it. Name any of the English teams taking part in the Club World Cup.
Man City.
Former Scotland striker Stevie May has just signed for which club?
Livy.
Scott McKenna currently plays for which team?
Pass.
Who scored Scotland's third goal against Liechtenstein on Monday?
Adams.
Which SPFL team are named after an insect, nicknamed after an insect?
Spiders, Queen's Park.
Name any of the English club's new Motherwell manager, Jans Bertel Askew, played for?
Pass.
Okay. David, how do you feel it went?
Oh, I've been beat.
Still not confident after hearing Simon? No, I'll take that as a no then. Right, name any of the English teams taking part in the Club World Cup. David went for Liverpool, which I can see the logic there, but they're not one of the teams taking part in it. It is Chelsea, and as Simon said, Manchester City. So it goes 1-0 to Simon Donnelly. Former striker, Scotland striker Stevie May has just signed for which club? You said Livingston. You got it right. Was that a guess?
No, I thought it.
Yeah.
I'm just confused because was he there on loan?
He was there on loan in the second half of last season, wasn't
that's
he?
That's why I kind of hesitated. But good
but
start.
That is
come
correct.
On.
David did not get it. So it goes 2-0 to Simon Donnelly. Scott McKenna currently plays for which team? Neither of you got it.
Oh, it's Darren
Yeo. Do you know what country he plays for?
Spain.
Ben? Yeah.
It's just.
Las Palmas was playing with Ollie McBurney.
Yep, so they are.
Last season remains 2-0 because neither of you got it. Who scored Scotland's third goal against Liechtenstein on Monday? I thought this was a shoo-in. I thought this was an easy one. David passed
I knew it. I just couldn't think of his name.
And you said Shea Adams, who scored
It was Hurst.
All the other three goals. He scored every other goal in that game. George Hurst scored it. Remains 2-0 to Simon Donnelly. Which SPFL team are named after an insect, nicknamed after an insect? David passed on that one. You went for Queen's Park, the spiders. Spiders are an arachnid. They're not an insect. It's Allah, the wasps.
Oh, for goodness. Hey, so it remains
2-0.
Hey, spider's look. Not an insect.
No. Arachnid. So, remains 2-0. You both got to the same final question. Name any of the English club's new Motherwell manager, Jans Bertel Askew, played for. You could have had Norwich or Millwall. Neither of you got it.
Is
it's
David
a scrappy
donut?
One.
Is David had a donut there?
Yeah, a donut. He knew it as well, straight away. As soon as he finished, he just said, terrible.
By the way, the jury's out on spiders, come on.
No.
Spiders,
facts. We only deal in facts here. We're not bending the rules for you, Simon. It's a scrappy 2-0 win for Simon Donnelly. You know what? He's off the board. There we go. Unlucky, David.
Chasing down Marv.
No bother.
Right. 0141-951-1025 to get your calls in. Of course, new Motherwell manager. We want to hear your thoughts on that, Motherwell fans. We want to hear your thoughts on Scottish FA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell backing Steve Clarke as well, or any other thoughts. 0141-951-1025. Jason is a Celtic fan in Crammond. Jason, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi there. Well, I just wanted to highlight the fact you're talking about Tavernier, and I just wanted to talk about standards. Tavernier drives a Lamborghini about Glasgow and has really achieved nothing. Callum McGregor drives a average Mercedes. I think that says an awful lot about the type of characters and the sort of standards that are set.
I'll be honest, I've got no idea what car either of the players drive. I can take your word for it, Jason. Does it really matter that much what car the players are driving around the place?
It genuinely doesn't. But if an underachieving player is floating about in a Lamborghini, I just think it says a lot about sort of accepting. I think it was Dick Advocaat that said Scott Wilson had to return his Ferrari because he wasn't a sort of Ferrari type of player. I just wanted to highlight that.
I don't know how to reply to that. Other than I had a soft top golf one time and I get a right ribbon in the Celtic dressing room.
Is that not good enough?
Probably just getting ahead of myself. Maybe not as spectacular as a Lamborghini, but driving about East Kilbride with the roof down, nah. I don't know. Listen, standards have been there with Callum McGregor, regardless of what car he drives. I've been there with that Celtic team for numerous seasons now. And as I said earlier on, I don't think you can lay all the blame of Rangers falling short on James Tavernier. I think, if anything, he's been one of their top performers over the piece, and I think it's maybe players round about him that you would have to look at where Rangers have fell short, but the relevance of the cars I'm not quite getting.
What do you think it is, Jason? It's something to do with standards that they're setting?
Yeah, if he's driving about in a Lamborghini, it sort of shows success, sort of stuff like that. I don't think that's a word you could use with Tavernier. Successful, definitely not. Great player, definitely not successful. Definitely not a captain.
In terms of what's going on at Celtic at the moment, how are you feeling about the season ahead?
Yeah, happy. Celtic just get on with it quietly. They don't need to come out and say they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They just get on with it. Perfect. Just well run, on the field, off the field, humble, successful Celtic standards.
Are you excited for the season ahead? Do you think it's going to be, you know, obviously there's talk of a potential Rangers challenge with the new investment coming in. Is that not something that really...
That's up to them. We've heard it. We keep hearing it. They keep saying it. We'll just see what happens. We'll just do what we need to do, like we always do. And they'll say that they're going to do this, they're going to do that. We'll see. Can't say that they're not going to do it because we don't know, but it's been a long time since they've given us it, and we'll just keep doing what we're doing. I like the way Celtic are run. They conduct themselves. They're just a proper club.
Do you think the mindset or the planning from Celtic changes at all this summer, Simon? Do you think anything that's happening at Rangers will come into the thinking, or a case of Celtic have been so successful over the years and won so many trophies that it's a case of just keep on doing the same thing and hope the results are the same?
Yeah, so the second point of that Jason's made there, I do agree with. I think Celtic, just focus on Celtic. You know, there's a lot of people out there, Rangers are going to do this and Rangers are going to do that. I think Celtic just have to focus on making themselves stronger. They had a really good campaign on reflection, looking back at the Champions League and the new format, it's going to be more difficult again because they've got a qualifier this year. We're in the infancy of transfer windows where you don't know what's around the corner in terms of you might lose a player or two. They'll have their eye on certain ones. I think Kieran Tierney coming back to the club potentially is the signing of the summer for Celtic, but they'll be looking to get other ones in to strengthen. They have to move forward, to keep ahead in the domestic game and make inroads in Europe.
Jason, what kind of car is Simon Donnelly allowed to drive, given his career?
Fiat 500.
Thank you much, to Jason. Let's speak to Connor, who is a Celtic fan in Hamilton. Connor, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad yourselves.
All good. What are you thinking?
It's just a point that I came across in the newspaper today about Lennon Miller. So I noticed that Celtic had put a bid in a couple of weeks back, or maybe January or something. I can't really remember what date. But just to see, obviously, how much his price tag would be and if he would fit in, just to get your opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean,
fit in at Celtic.
I don't think I'm. Is that what you're thinking? Fitting in at Celtic, Connor?
Yeah.
I think he'd fit in, no problem at all. I think the lad at 18 years of age has showed in the time he's been in the Motherwell team, listening to people that are closer around him than myself, looking from afar. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's got a father who will be heavily influencing him through his experience in the game. And he looked as if he'd been a Scotland player all his days the other day. I know people will say about the opposition, but it still can faze young lads coming in to make their first start for their nation, and it didn't faze him. I thought he was a top performer, and I just think he's going to get better and better. There's a lot of interest out there. I think he'd fit in perfectly at Celtic. Whether that price tag is going to be out of reach for Celtic, time will tell.
Is he someone you feel Celtic should be spending the money on this summer, Connor?
His potential, yeah. And, like, obviously, he's probably, like, your Champions League and stuff. I think that would help his confidence as well. Because, obviously, if he goes down to England or vice versa or elsewhere, then they're always guaranteed to get into Champions League dead easy rather than it is up in Scotland. So I think if he gets into another team, for instance, I think it was Napoli or Atalanta had put in a bid for him as well. If he goes there or wherever, then he might not be confident enough if he gets it to start into the Champions League, whereas he can sort of get a feel from it in Scotland and then obviously progress as well. So I think it would be really good for him that wise.
How much do you think game time is going to come into any decision for Lennon Miller? Because when a young player goes to move, Simon, quite often at the age that Lennon Miller is at, basically no players have played as many minutes as Lennon Miller, hardly any. But the fact that he now has this, you know, wealth of first team experience at 18, he's not only, you know, playing, but he's pretty much the main man at Motherwell. Will that come into his thinking that he's not going to want to go somewhere, that he's going to have maybe limited game time?
It's got to,
how does that then fit in with a potential move to Celtic, as Connor suggests?
It's got to be something that he really considers, because he's a first team football player now, and he has been for two seasons. He's got himself into the Scotland setup. For his development, he has to be playing, and that is a big factor for him in his next move. I think back to I didn't make my debut till I was 19, but as soon as you get that wee take, you don't want to go back into the reserves, and you don't want to go back into sitting on a bench and not playing. For his development, for him, and from a selfish point of view, from the Scotland side, you want to see him playing week in, week out. So that's got to be in his thought process, and I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be wherever he goes next. And that includes Celtic or whoever. He would want to be going there and playing.
Well, thank you to Connor, 01419511025, to get your thoughts in. While you get your thoughts in, I'll tell you about this. Yes, we have big, big cash to give away on tomorrow's Make Me A Winner. £537,000 is ready to drop into your bank, and it's very easy to enter. Get 100 entries into the draw. Text BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For one entry, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or call 03434 269340. Calls are also charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this real network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and then and one person will win a massive £537,000. Answer our call and the cash is yours instantly. So text yes to 61025 now, and next we'll be speaking to a Danish football expert about Motherwell's new manager.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. And that is the beauty of Super Scoreboard, that sometimes you think you're going into the show and you'll be talking about Motherwell's new manager, you'll be talking about the SFA chief executive backing Steve Clarke, and you end up talking about what car James Tavernier and Callum McGregor are driving.
There's often many tangents.
Yeah, yep. And we don't mind it. That's why we love Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. Billy is a Rangers fan in Clydebank. Billy, how are you?
I'm not so bad, sir. How's yourself?
All good, all good. What are you thinking?
Right, what I'm thinking is, hi Simon, how you doing?
How you doing, Billy?
Okay with you?
Yeah, all good, thanks.
It's about James Tavernier. That call that was on earlier on, slating him, you know, saying he shouldn't be the captain or the rest. I mean, you all know how many managers have been in and out of Rangers and always kept him as a captain, right? Now, we don't know what he's doing for day-to-day, as it's always been said by, you know, obviously the managers. We only see him on game time, so we can't judge him on game time. But, I mean, look at his scoring record. You know what I mean? And look at the things that he puts in towards Rangers. I mean, all right, the guy said earlier on he's only won so many trophies. And Callum McGregor, and I hate to say it, but Callum McGregor's a great player. Don't get me wrong, for Celtic, he's a great player. But, and he's won so many trophies. But, I mean, the goals that this guy has scored, has Callum McGregor scored as many goals? I don't think so. Has he been so disciplined?
Well, then I think people would say Callum McGregor's won a lot more trophies than James Tavernier has.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I know. But goal-wise and all the rest of it, Tavernier has... To me, Tavernier is a captain of Rangers. And why should Russell Martin come in and change that? Who is going to be the captain of Rangers next season if Tavernier isn't there?
Can changing a captain, Simon, can that make a big difference to a team, do you feel? Have you ever been at a club where there's been a change of captaincy and you've seen a clear difference? How big is it?
I think they've got a role to play, but I think within a squad you're looking for strong members of that. I said the cliche earlier on about several captains. I had in my time at Celtic Paul McStay, and then it naturally led to Tom Boyd because Paul was away, so there was never really a kind of a situation where I can remember somebody coming in and undermining or changing it completely. However, it was a strong changing room. I could rhyme off five or six, maybe more. The year when we won the league, there was possibly more. I think Russell Martin has obviously come in the door. It's a massive job for him to come in and try and get anywhere close to Celtic immediately, because that's what you need. You need to do it immediately. You don't get time, as the last few managers have found out. And I think it's down to recruitment, and I think he'll know that a bit. But bringing in players to enhance this team, I think he's looked around the squad at the moment, as I said earlier in the show, and he's thought, right, Tavernier, like the five managers before, is the best guy for the job. You're looking for other guys to step up as well, and it was Archie mentioned John Souter. I think John's now becoming an experienced player at Rangers. He's been there a few seasons. He's one of their top performers, I think. And then you look to who you come in. Russell Martin might be sitting here 6 months from now or a season from now, depending on where Rangers are, depending on who's brought in. They might say, right, this is the guy that's going to take us forward as captain. As I say, time will tell, but he's decided at the moment that Tavernier is the right man.
Well, thank you to Billy. Let's get the lowdown, shall we, on Motherwell's new manager, because, as we said, he's a bit of an unknown quantity in Scotland, so we thought we'd get someone on who knows a lot more about him. Tok Tele is the editor at Villefort Park. He is a Danish football expert. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for taking the time to join us. Obviously, we found out the news today that Jens Bertelascu is the new Motherwell manager. As I just said, he's not really someone that's known to Scottish fans at all. What can Motherwell fans expect from him?
I think they're getting a pretty interesting head coach here. He has a very good reputation in Denmark. He's been a little bit around the block, both as a head coach himself and, of course, as assistant coach in big clubs, Sparta Prague recently, and then this spring at FC Copenhagen that just won the double. So pretty interesting guy. Also in his playing career, of course, he'd been around, was playing in Turkey for many years, was a very, very stable central defender. The kind of guy you could always rely on. Played a little bit in England as well with Norwich and Millwall, if I remember correctly. And then, yeah, his coaching career, won the double in Faroe Island, been coaching in Sweden and Denmark. And, yeah, I think his biggest strength is definitely the defensive part of the game. That's what he was brought in to stabilize at both Sparta Prague and Copenhagen. It's also where he really excelled in Horsens and Göteborg when he was head coach there. So I think a very, very good coach, but also I would say still a young coach who's still making his career and is still growing and learning. And yeah, I think Motherwell is a really interesting challenge for him.
You mentioned that he's obviously had those spells as a manager in his own right. He's, you know, away from Copenhagen now, where he was assistant manager. Is that seen as a big loss there?
Yes, they were sad by losing him. He was only there for 6 months. I don't think they ever really saw him as a long-term solution because he quite surprisingly was released down at Sparta Prague, and they saw it as, okay, we can get in a guy who's really good here, took him in. But obviously he has head coaching ambitions and the level to become a head coach. So I don't think he was ever in Copenhagen for the long run. It was more to, yeah, get a bit of new experience, join a really big team. I mean, obviously, Copenhagen are the biggest club in not only Denmark, but all of Scandinavia. So coming to a big club like that, getting that experience, well-paid and stabilizing the defense was good responsibility for him. But, yeah, he has higher ambitions than being the assistant coach. And, now he gets to take the next step at Motherwell. There haven't really been any rumors of him being unhappy at Copenhagen. That he always signed a short contract. It was only a 6-month contract, but still, it came a little bit out of nowhere. And as you said, it was maybe a surprise to you guys, but it was also a bit of a surprise in Denmark because, yeah, Copenhagen are obviously winning the double. They were hoping to qualify for Champions League next year, so I think they were hoping to keep the band together and also have him for that big challenge. But unfortunately not for them.
Just very quickly, as we're running out of time, you talk about him being good at organising a defence. Does that mean it's quite a defensive style of play Motherwell fans should be expecting, or is there more to it than that?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, it has been his main responsibility as the assistant, but if you ask him, I think he sees himself as more of an offensive minded coach. He has been preferring a 4-3-3, trying to play offensive football. But if you look at the job he's had, he has been a bit of what we in Danish football call a fire extinguisher, always coming in clubs that are struggling a bit and having to save them. He played really good football when he was in the Faroe Islands with HB Torshavn, but other than that, at Horsens, he was in the bottom of the Danish Superliga, so that's always a very difficult job. At Göteborg, he came in when they were, after a terrible start to the season, were below the relegation line, and he saved them. So he never really had a job where he could develop over time, and he haven't been at a top club as a head coach either. So he's a guy who also adjusts a bit to the circumstances. He's very tactically strong, can motivate his players at a very high level. They really go out and they fight for him, and he's tactically very good, can both read his own team strength but also the opponents. So I mean, I'm very much looking forward to hopefully seeing him in a top club where he can really leave his mark, because so far he's always been, apart from in the Faroe Island, which it's not the most competitive league, he's always been at the bottom of the league.
Sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there, Tolk. We are running out of time, but thank you very much for your contribution. I'm sure Motherwell fans appreciated that. Thank you for your calls, thank you for your tweets, and thank you to Simon Donnelly. Roger Hanna will be taking care of things tomorrow night. He'll be in the studio with Scott Allen.